Good morning. Welcome to our service today. I'm going to be reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and beginning at verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, Why has the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, Because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. We ask you, Lord, to speak to each one of us and to teach us what we need to know in order to be able to serve you in the way that we should. We just pray, our Father, thanking you for your grace and mercy and love to us. We do pray, our Father, for those today who are suffering from the coronavirus and other problems related to it. And we just ask you, Lord, to lift this burden from us, if it would be your precious and holy will. We just thank you so much, Lord, for your constant grace and mercy towards us. Help us to honor you and serve you in all that we do. Forgive us of our trespasses and our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and help us to walk in fellowship with you. O God, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Psalm 33:12 says, Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Proverbs 14:34 says, Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God chose Israel to be his people, and he gave them his precious word. He promised to bless them if they would obey him, but he would also require of them to do the right thing. And he warned them of the consequences of disregarding him and his holy will. Again and again, we find the people disobeying God and falling into sin. Each time, the Lord would send a warning, and if they heeded it, then everything would be fine. But if not, then judgment would follow. The scripture says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." In the scripture that we read this morning, well, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 12 through 22, we find here the Lord speaking to Solomon, King Solomon, who had just dedicated the temple to be the place of worship and prayer for God's people, for the people of Israel at that time. King Solomon prayed to God and dedicated the temple. Look back in verse 1 if you happen to have your Bible open. It says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." So God was well pleased with what Solomon was doing in providing this home. You remember David had wanted to build the temple, but God had said, "No, you can't do it because you've had too much warfare, too much blood on your hands, but your son will do it." And so here, Solomon now has built the temple, and it has been dedicated to the glory of God. And we see that the Lord has come to fill his house. The Lord was pleased with Solomon and established him as the king of Israel. Look back in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, where it speaks of the first time that God appeared to Solomon before he became the king. It says, "And in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said to God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked for wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like." So the Lord makes an agreement with King Solomon about the place of worship and prayer, and he gives him the special wisdom to lead his people in the right way. Notice here in our passage that we read before, in chapter 7, verse 12, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. This was the second time he had come and spoken with him. And he said to him, "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." So the Lord is pleased, and he is willing to accept the temple as the place of worship for the people of Israel. And notice what he says in verse 13. "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people." Notice that God says that he's the one who is in charge. He is the sovereign God, and he deals with his people in the way that he sees fit. The things that happen at his discretion. He didn't promise that difficult times would not come. We all have to face difficult times in our lives. All kinds of things have come because of the sin of man, and we are all affected by that. In fact, he implies here that these things will come. He says sometimes there will be no periods with no rain. You have droughts, and then insect infestations, pestilences, like we're very familiar with, and other national emergencies. These things will come. He did promise, however, that he would hear and answer our prayers if we would come under his conditions, the proper conditions that he had set down. And there we have it in verse 14. Very familiar verse. I know you've probably heard this verse many times, especially during this time when we're having with the coronavirus. What are we to do? Verse 14. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Notice he says, first of all, if my people, who are God's people? Well, in Solomon's day, of course, it was the nation of Israel that God had chosen. He chose Abraham and his descendants as his special people. And was the God of Israel. But today, of course, we have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have the church. We are the church as those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who are seeking to follow him. And we are the people of God at this time. In Acts 11:26, it says the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So they are called after the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we can call upon his name. If my people who are called by my name, then he says, shall humble themselves. That is, we need to admit that we are not self-sufficient. You know, so many people seem to think that they can do it any way they please and no one is going to care. We don't always have the answers to everything, do we? To all the devastating problems that are facing us, our nation, and the world. You know, sometimes we seem to think that we are able to do anything. But we find ourselves in a very difficult situation at the present time. You know, it says, talking about that, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's from Proverbs chapter 16. Again, he says in 1 Peter, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. So our attitude when we come to the Lord to ask him to give us relief is to humble ourselves before him, to take that place of lowliness and realize that he's the one who is God and we are his people, his subjects. And then he says, and come and pray. When you're humble before him, you can come and pray. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So we have the wonderful privilege as Christians, as believers, that we can pray and ask the Lord for whatever we need, and he has promised to give it to us if we come in the right attitude, the right mindset, that the Lord is going to give us what we need. So another about talking about prayer. It says in James chapter 5, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we have this wonderful privilege of praying, don't we? When we come to him in faith, believing, trusting in what Jesus has told us, that we can rely upon that, and we come in humility before him and ask him for whatever we need. He says, and seek my face. God says, come and seek my face. Jeremiah says, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. You know, our prayers should be from our heart, in sincerity. We don't just come and pray some little prayer like the children learn, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, that kind of thing. But no, we come to the Lord with sincerity and seek his face, especially in a time of crisis like we're going through at the present time. We need to definitely ask the Lord to meet our needs and to help us through and to see us realize the end of this situation. And then, this might touch our hearts a little bit, he says, and turn from their wicked ways. You know, so often we want God to do something, but we don't want to change our ways. We don't want to leave our little pet sins. Turn from their wicked ways. He said this is to repent. Repent of their sins. We need to confess them to God and forsake them. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if we expect God to answer our prayers, we must confess our sins to him and turn away from them. He will not hear us if we rebel against him and seek to go our own way. See, he is the Lord, right? And we have to be obedient to him. We see it all through the Bible, again and again, how God expects us to be obedient. And if we're not obedient, we don't receive his blessings. But he says, if we meet these conditions, he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. I will forgive their sin, take it all away, and I will heal their land. Certainly our land desperately needs to be healed at the present time, not only of the coronavirus disease, but also for all the violence on of your hand and the sin that abounds all around us. Notice verses 21 and 22 here in this chapter. He says, why has the Lord done thus unto the land and unto this house? Why is there all of this problem and difficulties? Why? So often we ask ourselves that, don't we? When something happens, why did it happen to me? Well, he says, many times at least, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them." So the Lord works in our lives to make us better people, to help us to be obedient to him. And when we're not, we suffer the consequences. Why are we in the state we are in today? Because we have forsaken the Lord God. Many times in our society, so many people have turned away and worshiped other gods. This country was founded on Christian principles, and our forefathers set up the original values according to the scriptures, but we have drifted away from that, haven't we? We have drifted far, far away from what the original founders of this nation desired. Sin is rampant on every hand, with an open mockery of God by many people today. But as Paul says in Romans 5:20, he says, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And God is willing to forgive us of our sins and give us his grace and mercy and to restore us if we will only come to him. God will still hear our prayers if we meet his conditions. Just like Israel of old that fell into idolatry, when they repented, God forgave them and restored them to his favor. He will do the same for us today if we sincerely repent of our sins and cry out to him. In Romans 13, verse 11, it says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." So here we see, he says, it is high time to awake out of sleep. And God, I think, has sent us a wake-up call. We need to wake up and realize that we cannot disregard him and prosper. We must turn to him and acknowledge who he is and obey his word. So he says, it's high time to awake out of sleep. The time is short, but we need to spend that time using it for the glory of God. Now listen, as we finish here, in Isaiah chapter 1, we find God speaking to his people once again in a similar way as he did to Solomon. Isaiah is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, and he says in chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." He says the animals are obedient, but my people are not. "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. So he's saying here, God has kept Israel together, even though they sinned so grievously against him. And God has preserved a remnant, and just like he has in our world today, there are those who still are serving God and the remnant, but so many have gone astray, have gone their own way, and living in sin without any compunction of conscience. Notice what he says a little bit further on, speaking to his people. He says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Be concerned about other people and not just yourself. And then he comes to the invitation, this wonderful invitation that he gives. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So, we see today, the Lord is calling us as well to come to him, to repent of our sins, to ask him to forgive us, and to make us clean in his sight. He says, come now. Don't wait any longer. Trust him today. Wake up. We need to wake up and realize that God loves us, he cares for us, and he will help us if we will only turn to him and look to him for our salvation, our deliverance, and our help. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, this morning for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. And we pray that each one of us will take seriously the word of God and that we will repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. We pray that every believer will take seriously the matter of prayer, that we might come humbly before you and serve you in the way that you would have us to do. And give us a heart for other people. Help us to reach out and help those who are in need. We pray for those who are suffering that you will undertake for them and supply their needs. We pray that you'll help us to get through this difficult time and that we might look to you for all that we have need of. Thank you so much, Lord, for all your grace and mercy. Help us to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.